ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै हरिष्ठनेमिः स्वस्तिनो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। We have seen the lakshanam of a videha muktaha, or we have understood in the previous verse what is a videha muktihi, and thereafter there are verses which reveal the brahmana swarupam of brahman reality. Brahmanaha swarupam or brahmanaha lakshanam, which means definition of the reality Brahman or the nature of the reality Brahman, is unfolded in these verses, which is the vision of a wise person, this jivan muktaha. The nature of the reality is what now? Is actually the vision of the wise person. So that's why these verses are given here. And last class we have seen the 54th verse, I think. We have finished 54th verse. So now we are going to this. So it's a continuation of what we have been seeing. So let's go to the 55th verse. Yadrishtva naparam drishyam. Yad bhutva na punarbhavaha. Yad jnatva na param jnayam. Tad brahmetyavadharayet. Tad brahmetyavadharayet. Yad drishtva. Naparam drishyam. Yad bhutva na punarbhavaha. Na punarbhavaha. Na punarbhavaha. Yajnyatva. Naparam jnayam. Tad brahmetyavadharayet. Tad brahma iti avadharayet. Avadharayet means what? May one arrive at the ascertained conclusion. What is that? That is Brahman. That is what the reality is. What is the reality? What the reality is? He says, Yad drishtva na aparam drishyam. Having seen which, nothing, there can be seen anything else. What does it mean? Having seen which, there cannot be seen anything else. What does it mean? Having seen which, there cannot be seen anything else means there will not be anything to be seen. Once you have seen the truth, then the reality, so you have seen the satyam, you have recognized the satyam, then there is no second reality or no second thing also other than the reality. Suppose you see the world of objects, you see this jagat, and not only it's the external world, you see your physical body, you see your sense powers, you see your own mind, this mind is seen, all these world of objects, and they are plural. No, there are many, innumerable, countless. But all of them, then there will not be an object. They all come under the category of the drishyam. Drishyam means what? To be seen. To be seen, that which can be seen is drishyam, which means that which can be known, which implies that which is the known or the knowable, an object of knowledge. So then, once you have seen the reality, the truth, as the very swarupam of the knower, once you have recognized the reality of the whole universe as the reality of the very swarupam of the knower, then when you resolve the knower I in reality, then the seen will not be there for you. It's like you can see, appreciate the innumerability of the waves, countlessness of waves, and you can see the ocean also as long as you don't really see the H2O. Once you've seen the water, then what else is there for you to see? Once you've seen the water is what? Only reality with reference to ocean. A secondless reality with reference to ocean. A secondless thing, with reference to ocean. Why? Because all the waves and the entire ocean also are mithya. They are not non-existent like a rabbit's horn or a mirage water. All these waves are not negated as non-existent thing, unreal, but they are not, they're only the meaning of the words, they're only what? They're only names, they're unforms, they're non-substantial. All the waves are non-substantial, names and forms. The entire ocean also is what? The non-substantial name and form. Why? Because they are not unreal, but they are there available for perception. They cannot be denied as unreal. But what are they then? They are not absolutely real also. They are neither real nor are they unreal. Then what do we call them? They are as though. So that which is as though is technically known by the word mithya. So all those are what? No, mithya. Once you see all of them are as mithya, then any mithya is that which has no independent existence, which means these names and forms which are non-substantial, because they do not have existence of their own, therefore they cannot be counted as a second reality or second thing, which means they are dependent on the water for their own existence. Therefore, water is independent of the waves and ocean, whereas the waves and ocean are dependent on the water. Therefore, with reference to ocean, we say water is satyam, the waves and ocean are mithya. Now you have reduced everything into what? Satyam and mithya. And what about the mithya now? Mithya cannot be counted as a second thing, not countable, because it has no independent existence. So what is it which can be counted as a second thing or a third thing or a fourth thing? Only if it has an independent existence. Which means the water, if the waves and ocean can exist independent of the water, even after removing the water, then we can count them as a second thing, because they do not have countability. Therefore, the mithya is nothing but satyam. The water alone appears in the form of waves and ocean. Actually, there is no wave or ocean other than the water. The waves are water, ocean is water, whereas even though water is not the waves, not the ocean. Once you can see the waves, you can see the multiplicity, you can see the plurality, you can see the differences, you can see everything, all that, as long as you don't see the water in the ocean. Once you see the water, you intellectually, physically don't do anything. Intellectually you resolve all the entire ocean as a nama rupa, name and form. You resolve all the waves as names and forms, then resolve all the names and forms as what? Non-substantial, mithya. and dissolved very mithya is nothing but satyam, because waves and ocean are nothing but water, dissolved satyam, then satyam alone is satyam, is a secondless only reality. So you can see anything else, a second thing can be seen, a second object in the world can be seen as a real thing. It doesn't mean, oh my God, once I see the water, I don't see the wave at all. Not like that. Once you see the water, after seeing the water also you will see the waves. See, initially you see only the waves and the ocean. You don't see the water at all. Then the teaching helps you to shift the attention from the names and forms, the wave and ocean, waves and ocean, to the truth water, the H2O. When attention is brought to the water, you have the vision of the water. Even after seeing the water, you are not denying your perception of waves and ocean. In perception, you are perceiving the waves and the water, but still you know really they are not. What is really there is only water. Water alone is in the form of waves and ocean, means there is nothing else, nothing else can be seen other than the water. Similarly here also, as long as you do not recognize the nature of the reality as your own swarupam in your own mind, as the very content of I, now for you this world of you see the world with all differences, you see this plurality and multiplicity of this in this world, you see all the different objects with the differences. But once you recognize the truth being consciousness, now the limitless reality consciousness at the very swarupam, when you arrive at the when you have the vision of the reality, then afterwards for you other than consciousness, now your mind, sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, even the laws involved, the actions, the fruits of actions, the physical forms, the gross forms, the perceptible, imperceptible, all of them, the whole jagat, the world of objective, the world of objects, the entire objective universe can be reduced to what? Mithya. One reduces to mithya, then mithya prapanchaha satyam brahma. This entire, as though the mithya universe is nothing but the reality, the consciousness. Even though Brahman, the consciousness, is not the reality, the world, but the whole world is reality. Once this vision is very clear, then you see what? This Brahman, the reality alone, appears in the form of all this entire universe, all these objects, all the differences, means you have negated the, intellectually you have negated the existence of everything. Which means for you there is only one vastu, only one reality. Isn't it? This is what? There is a second thing which has existence of its own other than which you can see. Is what? Yad drishtva. I think I have made it very clear. Yad drishtva aparam nadrishyam vidyate. Having recognized which, having seen which, there cannot be anything to be seen at all. One meaning, there cannot be the seen at all. Another meaning. Hope you understood it. Is it clear? There cannot be anything to be seen. There cannot be the seen at all. That is Brahma. That is what is the reality. Then, yad bhutva na punarbhavaha. Yad bhutva means what? Yad means that. So, having become which, yad bhutva, having become which, punaha na punarbhavaha. Punarbhavaha means what? Again, coming back into this universe. Again, being born. There is no rebirth again. What does it mean here? Here, yad bhutva means what? Having become which? We have to understand very clearly here. You can never become Brahma. You can never become the limitless reality. Why? Because you are already the limitless reality. As long as you do not know this fact that you are the reality, as if you are not Brahman, you are seemingly a limited individual. The individuality, and then with all the limitations, are what only seeming individuality. There's no real individuality. You know that seeming individuality with the seeming limitations because of your isolation. The isolation is because of your ignorance of your own swarupam. Your ignorance of, because of the ignorance of the very, the truth of I. It's like being ignorant of the truth of wave being water. Like being ignorant of the very truth of the substance of the substantive I is what? As long as the ignorance is there, you are as though not Brahman. You are seemingly a Brahman. You are seemingly a limited individual with all limitations. And you are never away from reality. You cannot be away from reality also because you are already reality. You are already Brahman. You cannot become Brahman because you are already Brahman. That means you cannot become, you cannot reach, you cannot attain. You cannot become means you're already, what is that which is now? So knowing, recognizing what Brahman is, knowing the truth of the universe, the limitless reality, being consciousness as the truth of the very knower, the subject of knowledge, I, is what? Actually, knowing this reality, being already one's own swarupam is as though becoming Brahman. Listen now, here bhutva means what? Having recognized the reality being the swarupam of very I, the knower, subject of knowledge, is as though becoming Brahman. There is not really becoming Brahman, isn't it? Which, to make it simple, through recognition, having taken ownership of one's own swarupam being Brahman, is what? Having become Brahman. Punaha bhavaha na. Bhavaha means coming into existence, which means being born. Punaha means again. So being born again, the rebirth, na, means what? Not possible. Rebirth is not possible. There is no rebirth. There is no rebirth. There is no coming into existence again after having recognized the reality as one's own nature. Why? Because you know very well, reality is eternal, isn't it? Eternal means it is of the nature of eternity. Which means the reality, the consciousness has no birth, no death. Which means there's no beginning, there's no end. It is not subject to any change also. And being all pervasive and being, no, it is eternal is what now? It is timeless reality. So being timeless, so you are consciousness means, and you already resolved your identity. The I is intellectually already resolved in consciousness means, and who is the one who is going to be born again? You cannot say, I am going to be born again. Can you say, I am going to be born again? Who are you? If the identity is with the body, if the identity is with the, even the, easily we always, we easily shift the essence from the body. You know, where it is difficult to shift it from? The mind. It is very, very difficult to shift the essence from the mind. without our effort, we understand very clearly, yes, mind is an object of knowledge, all the emotions are objects of knowledge, all the thoughts are known. Definitely, I am the knower, distinct from the known thoughts, known intellect, known memory, even known ego. I mean, in a sense, no ego, the knowledge I am being there is known in waking state. The knowledge I am being not there in deep sleep state is also known. Therefore, I know antahkaranam is the is nothing but all these thoughts together form the my antahkaranam mind. I know very well we say, but still, it is difficult to shift the essence from that mind. So once the essence is still in the mind, also is what? No. No, still there is no clear vision, which means we should say, I'm going to be born again, means who is the one who's going to be born again? Consciousness, if you are consciousness, if you know wave is water, like that, if you know the substance of the substantive I is nothing but consciousness, that becomes very clear. The knower being consciousness is very clear, then who is there? There's no question of being born again. You can be born again. Because this, as she told you already, this knowledge, the one who has this vision of the truth, is the one who has got his essence resolved. Once you've got intellectually, once you've got your essence resolved intellectually, then you are free from what? All the kartrutvam, all the wrong notions about the self. Which means as long as parabdha is there, you'll be there. When the parabdha gets exhausted, and after the death, the mind will resolve for good. Mind cannot come back. For the mind to come back, there must be desires. There must be needs. There must be sense of inadequacy centered on I. The sense of inadequacy centered on I can be there only if there is, what? If there is I sense. The I sense can be identified, only the I sense is identified with the, in the I is identified with the body, mind and the body mind complex. I cannot be identified with the body mind complex anymore. Why? Because I is intellectually resolved already in consciousness. I has been shifted cognitively, intellectually, isn't it? As a knower, distinct from the known. And later on, the knower, I as a knower, is resolved in what? The very consciousness. Once you distinguish the I, the knower, from the known, then you resolve it in consciousness. Therefore, essence is no more available for it to be identified with the anatma. Not being able to identify it with anatma, there cannot be this sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I. Therefore, there cannot be needs also. Therefore, there cannot be desires also. Therefore, what happens? The mind cannot survive by itself. Naturally, the mind resolves for good. See, we are not undoing the mind. The mind resolves by itself. When the mind is resolved means for good after the death, then along with the mind, sense powers and all the other subtle aspects also will resolve. Then sukshma is no more there. The jivatvam, the status of being an individual, has been resolved. Therefore, the rebirth is not there. Is it clear now? Therefore, it said here, yad bhutva, yad bhutva na punarbhavaha, having become Brahman in terms of knowledge, there is no rebirth. Having known which, bhutva, should take it as what? Having become in terms of knowledge, Having become which in terms of knowledge, there is no rebirth. Yad jnatva na aparam geyam. Yad jnatva, having known which. Again, another word comes now. First, become. Having known which, na aparam geyam. See, if you know something in the world, if you know anything in the world, your knowledge will be incomplete knowledge. Knowledge of anything, any number of PhDs or postdoctoral fellowships in any number of universities will still leave a person of incomplete knowledge. Relatively, he may be much more knowledgeable than people in the world, but still, he is a person of incomplete knowledge. Because the world, there is so much to be known again. No one can claim knowledge of any discipline, knowledge of anything in the world, will leave a person incomplete, the person of incomplete knowledge only. Something else will be there to be known. If you know a little bit something, then there will be jnayam. Jnayam means to be known. There will be something to be known. I have known this much, there is something to be known. I have known this much, I have something to be known. I have learned so much now, I have understood so much. Still there is something to be known. Something to be known. Something to be known. Isn't it? Jnayam will be there continuously, whatever you study, whatever you know in this world. But once you have, if you know the reality, Brahman, if you have recognized Brahman, if you have known Brahman, if you have understood the reality, then there is nothing else to be known. Because knowing the reality is as good as what? No, knowing everything else. No, why? Because reality being only secondless reality. Reality being the only secondless reality. And everything else other than Brahman being mithya, is that you knowing the reality is knowing the truth of everything, the entire universe, entire cosmos. Therefore, nothing else needs to be known. Second thing, I tell you one thing. The sense of smallness centered on I, in terms of, so many things, in terms of name, fame, popularity, or position, status, influence, etc. All of them, the sense of smallness centered on I in terms of ignorance, in terms of knowledge. The sense of smallness in terms of knowledge. The sense of inadequacy in terms of knowledge is the most, really, it causes more pain. Now what is that more? Really, it causes more pain. But once you know the reality, then what happens? The desire that I want to know anything else in the world also will be resolved. The desire for knowledge of anything also will be resolved. There can be, one may know more, even after that also one can desire, one can know more. Anything you know after gaining knowledge of Brahman will be an embellishment. But knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of reality, or as the knowledge of one's own self, will put an end to what? Very desire for knowledge. You know why? Because any curiosity, any inquisitiveness, the desire for knowledge, this knowledge, jignasa, itself is for what? Desire for anything is an expression of the one's problem of smallness being centered on I. Even I want to know this, I want to know this, I want to know this, I want to know this. Why? Because by knowing something more, you are seeking either pleasure in that, or you see what now, you want to, isn't it? It's a pleasure means you want to resolve that smallness, the problem of smallness in terms of knowledge. Therefore, the knowledge of the reality will help you resolve the very sense of smallness centered on I in terms of knowledge. Therefore, it will put an end to the very desire for knowledge. Because any desire won't be there. Therefore, he says what now? Yajnatva aparam na jnayam. Having known which, there will not be anything else to be known. Is it clear? Then, tad brahma iti avadharayet. May one understand clearly that is what Brahman is, knowing which there will not be anything else to be known. In fact, we can say here, for a person of vision of the reality, for him everything is what? If you ask initially, where is Bhagavan? Where is the Lord? Where is the truth? You will say, no, in my own heart. Oh, Bhagavan is sitting all the hearts of all the people. Initially, we can say all that. But actually, once the vision is there, when you say, where is Bhagavan? You should ask, which is not Bhagavan? Where Bhagavan is not? You ask, where Bhagavan? Where is Bhagavan? Where is the Lord? Where is the truth? Where the truth is not? This will be the vision of the, vision of this wise person. Because for him, all that he sees is only Paramatma, Parambrahma. For the one for whom, whatever he sees is Paramatma, the truth means, for him, the very self is resolved in that vision. For him, all that is, there's only the reality, only Brahma means, there's only fullness for him. There's only fullness for him. There's only happiness for him. The person is reveling in fullness. Therefore, there's nothing. There cannot be anything to be seen, anything to be known, anything to become also. One more thing, very important thing. Having become Brahman in terms of knowledge, suppose having become a doctor, I want to become a doctor. After becoming somebody, there may be desire for becoming somebody else. There may be desire for becoming something else. I was this before, I wanted to be this, and having become this, I want to become something else. I want to become something else. I want to be better than what I am. I want to be, much better than what I am. I want to be different from what I am. This desire will be constantly, naturally there. We can undo this desire. But once you have become Brahman in terms of knowledge, you'll understand the fact what you cannot become anything other than what you are. Why? You're already what you are, Brahman, the reality. And all that is here is what? Brahman only, the reality only. Therefore, how can you become anything anymore? For the person, one who knows that one's own self being Brahman, the reality, and everything else also will be what? Brahman. Therefore, it's not possible for him to become anything anymore. Why? Anything and everything he wants to be is already Brahman. Which means he is already that which is already he wants to be. Okay, we'll go to this next verse. Now, for 56th verse, same verses, okay, all these verses are only the unfoldment of, or the verse are Brahma Swarupa Pratipadaka Shlokaha. They all reveal the nature of reality only. It's all for our own confirmation. ത്രിയഗൂർധ്വമദഃ പൂർണം. സച്ചിദാനന്ദമദ്വയം ചിദാനന്ദമദ്വയം അനന്തം നിത്യമേകം യത് തത് ബ്രഹ്മേത്യവധാരയേത്. ത്രിയഗൂർധ്വം അധഃ പൂർണം സച്ചിദാനന്ദമദ്വയം അനന്തം നിത്യമേകം യത് തത് ബ്രഹ്മേത്യവധാരയേത്. തത് ബ്രഹ്മ ഇതി അവധാരയേത്. തത് ബ്രഹ്മ ഇതി അവധാരയേത്. തത് ബ്രഹ്മ ഇതി അവധാരയേത്. This sentence is repeated. So I need not tell the meaning, but still I'll tell you. May one understand that to be the limitless reality, the truth of this cosmos. May one understand that that to be the reality of this cosmos. What is that here? திரியகு ஊர்த்வம் அதஹா. சி அதஹா மீன்ஸ் அதஹா மீன்ஸ் பிலோ. சோ வாட் எவர் இஸ் பிலோ தட் இஸ் வாட் தட் இஸ் ஃபுல்னஸ் பூர்ணம் இஸ் இட் தட்ஸ் ஆல்சோ பிரம்மா. பிரம்மன் இஸ் பிரம்மன் அலோன் இஸ் இன் ஆல் த த்ரீ லெவல்ஸ். Whatever is below is Brahma. Urdham, whatever is above is also Brahma. Triyag means whatever is horizontally, means whatever, it should be taken, literally it means horizontal, but here you should take it as what is in the middle. Means we all come under that, okay? Whatever is in the middle, whatever is below, whatever is above, is what? Whatever is there in all the three levels, all are nothing but Brahman. Purnam. Adaha Purnam. Adaha Purnam. Urdham Purnam. No? Triyak Purnam means what? Is it that which remains pervading everything that is here, above, below, and in the middle. What does it mean here? Hey, all that is here, known and the unknown, is nothing but Brahman alone. Nothing but Brahman alone means what? My God, we see so many differences. Doesn't matter how many things you know, how innumerable objects are, how countless the objects are, how varieties the species are, various the species are, things are, doesn't matter. All of them are absolutely, in reality, one and the same. All are not the same. All are not equal also, but all are one only. Why? Because what is that which lends existence to all of them? Like the water is the only substance, only reality which alone lends existence to all the waves and the entire ocean. The only substance which lends existence to all the substantives here, all the objects here, all the things here. Things here means what? Here means all that is known here in the middle, all the unknown which is above, all unknown even below also. At all the levels, what is there is, what is which remains filling everything is Brahman alone. And to be full, Purna means to be full also, what effort should the reality do? what effort should the water do in order to fill the ocean to be full of ocean, to fill every wave? So being full, being the very reality, being the very existence of every wave in the entire ocean, in order to fill all the waves in the entire ocean, to be full, water need not do any effort. It is its very nature, swarupam, isn't it? By its mere existence, it is pervasive, all pervasive. So all pervasiveness, isn't it? Suppose I had to put on, eat more and more and more, put on a lot of weight to try to fill little more space here, isn't it? Make effort to fill more. To fill anything, you have to what? Make effort to fill something, isn't it? But to fill here, we may not make any effort. Why? Because by nature, by its mere presence, it is pervasive. So pervasiveness is its very nature. Therefore, what now? Purnam, Adaha, Urdham, Triyage, Madhye, Purnam, that which is in all levels, pervading everything. And what is that? Don't you repeat the word? Here, Sat, Chit, Anandam, Advayam. Sat, you know, the very existence. So that which is there as the very existence of everything. Sat. Like water is the existence of the name and form ocean. Wood is the existence of the name and form any furniture, table or chair. Gold is the existence, you know, for the very name and form any ornament like chain or bangle. Because we remove the gold, the name and form chain will lose its existence. If we remove the wood, the name and form table will lose its existence. If we remove the water, the name and form ocean will lose its existence. So without which the forms and names cannot exist at all, this, the entire, the universe will lose its existence. What of existence? That which is in the form of existence of the universe, Sat. And but how do you know that Sat? What is that which is there as the existence of everything? Isn't it? Therefore, from the standpoint of the universe, you understand the reality as the very existence of the universe. You're all the time you are seeing the universe. You are seeing Brahman only. As an ignorant person also is already seeing Brahman. As very, isn't it? Then wise person also is seeing Brahman. But what is the difference, isn't it? Everyone is seeing the Brahman, not knowing that he is seeing Brahman. The wise person is seeing Brahman, knowing he is seeing Brahman. Isn't it? Therefore, because how is Brahman? How is the reality here? Reality alone is there as the very existence. When you see the table, you cannot see only the table name and form without seeing the wood. You are seeing the wood only. When seeing the ocean, you are seeing the water only in the form of the ocean. When you are seeing the ornament, you are seeing the gold only in the form of the thing. So, when you are seeing the whole jagat, you are seeing the reality, the consciousness, isn't it? You are seeing the reality as the existence of the universe. You don't see the reality as consciousness outside, okay? When you are seeing the whole jagat, you are seeing the reality as existence of the universe. Reality is available for recognition only as the existence of the universe. But that reality, which is available for recognition as the existence of universe, has to be, is it, recognized only in one's own mind as the very substance of the substantive I, the subject of knowledge, the knower, as pure consciousness. Understand now? Therefore, what is that which lends existence? Like if I say, it is water, the H2O, which lends existence to the names and forms ocean, when I say existence of the waves and ocean is water. Similarly, what is that which lends existence to the whole cosmos? Is what? No? He said it's existence. We have Brahman. What is that? What is lends existence? It is the consciousness. Therefore, Sat, the existence of the universe, is nothing but Chit, the consciousness, which is recognizable only not as an object of knowledge, but as the very Swarupam, the truth of the knower, the subject I, in one's own mind, isn't it? Therefore, Chit is what now? The consciousness. What is Brahman? The existence of the universe, Sat. What is that Sat, which is, which is there in everyone's mind, which is available for the existence of the universe, is all the time available for one's recognition as what? As the very Swarupam of the I, the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. For Chit, and here we say Anandam. So Anandam, see, what is fullness with reference to the entire cosmos? Is it? When it's recognized, when you recognize fullness being, the limitlessness or fullness being the very nature of the reality, that recognizing fullness being the nature of reality expresses itself in the mind as what? Anandaha. So what is Anandaha? Anandaha is happiness, which is an expression of the vision of fullness being the nature of reality, or which is expression of happiness, an expression of recognition of fullness as the very reality. Fullness is the nature of reality. What, when you recognize, fullness is the reality, I am that fullness, I am the reality which is nothing but fullness. When you understand, there is that expression of that vision of fullness is what? Happiness. It's called Anandaha. For Anantameva Anandaha. Expression of fullness is happiness. With reference to an individual, fullness recognized becomes expressed as what? Happiness. When do you recognize fullness? When you recognize the reality. With reference to ocean, do you need to separately know what is fullness with reference to ocean? No. You recognize the H2O, the water. You recognized what? The water being the very fullness. Water and fullness with reference to ocean are not two different things. Fullness with reference to ocean is what? Water. Because what is fullness? Being full. Being full is what? Very nature of the water. Swarupam. Isn't it? Similarly, when this reality becomes recognized, reality is understood. When the reality of the universe is understood as the very existence of the universe, and that reality which is the existence of the universe is understood as the very consciousness in one's own mind, and naturally you understand fullness being the nature of the reality, or reality itself being the fullness, then that recognition of fullness expressed in one's own mind is what? Anandaha, happiness. Understand? Because being full is being happy. Being a fraction is being inadequate. Being inadequate is what? Being fraction is being limited. And being limited is being unhappy. Therefore, Satchidanandam Advayam. So, that which is expressed in the form of happiness, and that which is of that which is the consciousness, and that which is the existence of this universe, Satchidanandam, then Advayam. Advayam means what? We have seen many times non-dual, non-dual, and here some commentaries here, they say Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata, Bheda, Rahitam. This is the explanation for that Advayam. Usually, Advayam, non-dual, secondless means what? That which is free from all forms of differences. You know, all forms of differences, no difference. Every object in this universe you take, a living thing or a non-living thing, a mobile being or immobile thing, you take anything. Everything in this universe is subject to all forms of differences. What are the differences? Sajatiya Bhedaha. Sajatiya Bhedaha means what? No, the difference. Because when there are so many different groups of things and groups of beings, definitely you belong to, any one thing belongs to a given group. For example, the entire humanity, is it? All the human beings form one group of, the group of human beings. And they're different from what? Then, mriga jatihi, manushya jatihi, the human beings, group, people belong, there's the beings, species of, they belong to human beings, and they're different from what other species. There are animals, there are plants, like that, there's varieties of groups of beings. Each group is what? Different from every other group. It's called Vijatiya Bhedaha. One group of beings being different from the other groups of beings, every other group of beings, is called Vijatiya Bhedaha. Human beings do not belong to the animal group. Animals do not belong here, isn't it? This difference is called Vijatiya Bhedaha. Then Sajatiya Bhedaha. Among the human beings, they all belong to one group, isn't it? One thing. But still there's a difference. What difference? Men and women. Men belong to one group, women belong to another group. Within that there's a, even among these men and women also you can say what? No, I'm an Indian, I'm an European, I'm like this, we have differences. Even here again we say what? We can say again, no, I belong to London, I belong to Yorkshire, I belong to, again we can say here. Like always, this vija is sajatiya bheda. Within a group also, there can be difference again and again, there can be differences. It's called sajatiya bhedaha. The differences within a group is called what? Sajatiya bhedaha. Differences between the groups is called vijatiya bhedaha. Now I tell you, swagata bhedaha. You take every individual thing or a being. No, I'm subject to what? No, Vijatiya Bheda. Because there are so many beings which I am different from. I belong to a different group. And there again, within that what? Sajatiya Bhedaha, group, the difference is within a group. Then, Swagata Bhedaha means, even here I cannot say which exactly, no, the head is different from hands. Hands are different from thighs, thighs are different from shanks, shanks are different from feet, back is different from the front, eyes are different from nose, nose is different from every other sense organ, everything is different from every other part, every part is different from every other part. These are all these differences are there. One tree, you can say tree means, you cannot say your tree is one thing. You know, many parts put together is one tree. If there cannot be a tree without a trunk, without branches, but still branch is not the, branches are not the trunk, trunk is not the branches. Leaves are not the trunk or the branches. The roots are none of these parts which are seen above. Therefore, within any one thing if you take also, you cannot call it. Every thing, whether living thing or a non-living thing, a plant, an animal, or an insect, or a human being, every being is what now is many parts put together, many organs put together, which means there is the differences, isn't it? Therefore, it's called swagata bhedaha. Differences within a given object or an individual, differences within a group, and differences between the groups. Like this, we have threefold differences. The Shastram has analyzed so beautifully what are all the possible differences we can talk about. Thoroughly analyzed, we don't need to go in search of a fourth type of difference. All the differences that are here can be categorized as what? Vijatiya bhedaha, sajatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. All these differences are very, very real for us. Why? Because we are perceiving the differences. If somebody comes and tells you, denies your perception, there cannot be greater pain than, isn't it? Accepting that, accepting that when you get a pain, then knowing that your own perception is denied. You get very angry if your own perception is denied. Because I am perceiving what is real for me is real. I am perceiving, therefore it's very real. Isn't it? So, Shastram does not say your perceptions are all unreal. No. If the Shastram says your perceptions are all unreal, they are like rabbit's horn, not there at all, then we'll get very upset, we'll throw away Shastram and go away. But Shastram is very careful. All your perceptions are not unreal, but they are not real also. They're only empirically real. Like waves are all relatively real. But absolutely, differences are not there. Absolutely, there are no differences. Is it clear now? So, vyavaharika drishtya, empirically, relatively, these bhedas are there. These differences are there. Absolutely, there are no differences. There is no difference at all. Is it clear? So, the standpoint of water, where is the difference? The standpoint of waves, there are differences. Similarly, the standpoint of Satchidanandam Brahma, the reality which is the very existence of the universe, which is nothing but pure consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness, which recognizes, which is there, expresses itself as the happiness, that reality is secondless, non-dual reality. All that is what now? All the differences are not outside of the reality, but the reality itself is free from all the differences. Okay? The differences are not outside of the reality, but the reality by itself is what? Free from all the differences. Reality has no vijatiya bheda. With reference to ocean, can you say that one wave is different from other wave? But water has no difference. Similarly, here the consciousness, which is the existence of the universe, isn't it? Which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, fullness, that consciousness is what? Has no difference. It has no vijatiya bheda. Why? There is sajatiya bheda. There is no swagata bheda. There is no second reality. Where is the question of having difference? There is no parallel reality, isn't it? For one to be different from the other, there must be a second thing. Isn't it? For one to be different from the other, there must be a second thing. Parallel reality. There is a second thing. Therefore, how can there be differences? Brahman, the reality is free from all differences. Therefore, Advayam. Non-dual. So, this is the meaning here. Even though Advayam literally means non-dual. Anantam. Anantam. Nityam. Anantam nityam ekam yat. Swaktam nityam ekam yat. Tad brahm. Okay, now. Anantam. Anantam means what? Limitless. The word limitless means, okay, the word anantam stands for spatial limitlessness. So, which means, so if the reality is all pervasive means, all pervasive means what? It's not adjective. Pervasiveness, fullness is the very nature, isn't it, of the reality. Therefore, anantam. Therefore, what about if everything, there's no, all these differences are not there, the second reality is not, the second thing is not there, is it? Which means, it pervades, isn't it? Being pervasive, it is in and through, it pervades everything. Means, what about the space? The space is all pervasive, and the space itself is what? Space itself is pervaded by consciousness, which means consciousness. When I say space is pervaded by consciousness, means what? Space does not have existence outside of consciousness. You understand that later on. Next verse will make it very clear. See, any object of knowledge, anything and everything, which is an object of knowledge, an object of knowledge is that which does not have existence independently without being known, without becoming the known. Is it clear now? First, you understand this. Anything which is an object of knowledge, yad yad jnayam, is it? Whatever has to be, anything which has a status of being an object. In the whole jagat, everything has been reduced to what? To object only. An object of knowledge means it cannot exist independently. What does it mean? For it to exist, to have the status of being existent, it has to become the known. To be known, there must be knowledge. Isn't it? To become the known, there must be knowledge. And for the knowledge to be there, there must be the knower. And the knower can be there only if there is consciousness. Isn't it? There's no knower other than consciousness. Without the consciousness, there's no knower. There cannot be knowledge. Therefore, there cannot be the known also. Any known does not exist outside of the knower consciousness. Don't say consciousness knower, okay? The knower consciousness. Which means the space also is what now? An object of knowledge. That is why when you fall asleep, for you, is there a space? Tell me, in sleep do you have space? In dream you can have dream space. But in deep sleep state do you have space? Is there space for you? No. Why? It's not known. Finished. For something to not to be there, it should not be known. Okay? Therefore, space, all pervasive, all of, there's no place where space is not. And that all pervasive space itself being an object of knowledge, there's nothing which is not pervaded by consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, consciousness is all pervasive, accommodative of the all accommodative space. Therefore, consciousness is spatially limitless. Understand now? The word Anantam stands for Brahman being spatially limitless. Now next word, Nityam stands for consciousness being time-wise limitless. Now you want to see, we are going to see in Mandukya, and on Saturday in Mandukya class, there are people for whom time is the absolute, you know that? There are some thinkers. They think, oh, time is the reality. Everything has come into existence from time. But here, just what is time? Is this time factor exist independently by itself? When is the time for you? When does the time exist? Does the time exist for you in deep sleep state? If you are not there, there's no time, there's no space. Isn't it? Whenever you do not know you are, when you are not knowing you are, there's no knowledge that you get this, there's no space, there's no time for you. Does the factor called time exist for you in sleep? All the differences are not, isn't it? Therefore, the time also is what? Is an object of knowledge. Time is very abstract, but it is an object of knowledge, isn't it? Time is an object of knowledge. So, time doesn't exist. Even the time is something, the time has no form. But still, time is an object of knowledge. A subtle factor. So, time also does not have... The time itself has a time. There is a time when the time is not. There is a time when the time is. Time itself is subject to time limitation. Therefore, consciousness, which lends existence to the very time, in terms of knowing, isn't it? Therefore, consciousness is beginningless. Time being there is known, time being not there is known. The knower, isn't it? In whose presence time, the presence and the absence of time is known, is what? Is free from time limitation. That's why beginningless, endless, changeless reality. We say eternal. Therefore, Nityam means eternity of Brahman, stands for timelessness, and Anantam stands for spatial limitlessness. So, spatial limitless, timeless limitless, then Ekam. Ekam means what now? Ekam means one, that which is one alone. Advayam is non-dual, secondless. One means it negates all the object differences, no? Object limitation. It's called object limitation. This Ekam stands for Brahman being object-wise limitless. See, spatially limitless, reality. Time-wise reality is time-wise limitless. Reality is object-wise also limitless. What does it mean by saying object-wise limitless? Object-wise limitless means it is free from object limitation. See, every object in this universe is subject to this object limitation. All the three limitations. Everything, a living thing or non-living thing, any object is subject to time limitation, subject to spatial limitation, subject to object limitation also. Why? Because every object is different from every other object. Every object being different from every other object is called what? Object limitation. There is nothing which is not subject to object limitation, isn't it? Suppose we take the example of again, the golden ornaments. Chain is not the bangle, bangle is not the ring, ring is not the bracelet, bracelet is not the hip belt, or you know, some different ornaments are there. Each ornament The form is different, name is different, every ornament is different from every other ornament. In the standpoint of name and form, the chain, bangle, ring, etc. But no, there's object limitation, isn't it? Chain has object limitation, bangle has object limitation, ring has object limitation, because ring is being different from the chain and bangle, it has object limitation. Being different means being limited by other object. Is it clear now? Whereas the standpoint of the gold, gold is free from what now? These chain, bangle, ring limitations. With reference to ornaments, gold being the reality, gold being the very existence, gold being all-pervasive reality, gold being, with reference to ornaments, gold is eternal. Before the ornament came, the gold was. Even in the form of ornaments, gold is. Even the ornaments are melted again, gold will be. With reference to ornaments, gold being the reality, gold is what now? Not any of the chain or the ornament, any of the chain or bangle or ring. But the ring is gold, chain is gold, bangle is gold, all are gold. Therefore, no object is. Is it clear now? Gold is not anything, but no object is different from gold. Therefore, gold is clear now. Similarly, living beings, five different elements and subtle elements, gross elements, elementals, living things, non-living things, mobile, immobile, all the differences, isn't it? As we saw. So, Brahman being free from all the differences also, there's nothing which can limit Brahman. Why? Because there's no object which is not reality. But even though reality is not anything, every object being reality, there's no name and form which can limit the reality. Therefore, reality is Brahman, the reality, the consciousness, existence of the cosmos, which is of the nature of pervasiveness and fullness, is free from object limitations also. Chair is not the table, table is not the chair. Isn't it? Like that, every being here is different from every other being. But all the beings are absolutely what? The reality. Like one wave is not different from other wave, but all the waves are water. Therefore, there's no object in the world, no form and name can limit the reality, because everything is reality. Free from object limitations. Is it clear now? These are the possible three limitations. Spatial limitation, time limitation, and object limitation. So these three words, Anantam, Nityam, Ekam, three words negate what? Brahman be object to all limitations. Which means they imply Brahman is being free from all limitations. Brahman being free from time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless, is revealed by these three words. Is it clear now? So that reality which is spatially limitless, time-wise limitless, and object-wise limitless, which is free from all the differences, and that reality is what? The existence of the universe, and which is the nothing but consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness, and that reality alone is what? Brahma. May you know that reality to be Brahman. May you know that consciousness to be the limitless reality, Brahman. May that know that consciousness to be the limitless reality, Brahman. Is it clear? Okay. In this world, you have to understand what is the main teaching here. न प्रतीति निषेधः परन्तु सत्यत्व निषेधः. प्रतीति मीन्स् वाट्? अवर् एक्स्पीरियन्सेस्. Our experiences are not, perceptions and experiences are not denied, not negated. Okay? But what is here negated is only our perception of the universe being real is negated. Is it clear now? When we say, it's like our perception of the waves and ocean is not denied. Our perception of waves and ocean being mistaken for reality is denied. Is it clear? If you say, I perceive waves and ocean, they are mithya. Actually speaking, water alone is satyam, if you say, then it's correct. What is the problem here? We do not know what the reality is, therefore, what is not real, what is a mithya, is mistaken for real. Is it clear? This is what is error in our perception of what is. Perception of the universe. How do you perceive? Universe is real. Is it real or not? It's not unreal. It is not absolutely real. But how do we perceive? It's absolutely real. Why? Because we do not know what is absolutely real. Once you know what is absolutely real, then you know how the universe is empirically, relatively, alone real. Okay, this is what is actually revealed in this 56th verse. Okay.
Atadvyavritti rupena.
Or serious verses are coming up now. Because we are going to end now. The text is going to be over now. 68th verse, the text will be over. That's why it's our serious lessons class are coming up now.
Atadvyavritti rupena vedantair lakshyate vyayam.
The two versions, lakshyate advayam, lakshyate avyayam. Both words are there. I tell the meaning anyway, don't worry.
Lakshyate dvayam. Akhandanandamekam yat.
Say loudly.
Akhandanandamekam yat. Tad brahmetyavadharayet. Atad vyavritti rupena vedantaihi lakshyate advayam brahma.
Avyayam brahma. You can take it as advayam brahma or avyayam brahma. What is said here? See, Advayam Brahma means non-dual, secondless reality. What is reality? Reality is that which lends existence to what is. Isn't it? The whole cosmos. Reality is that which lends existence to the entire universe. Like that, with reference to ornaments, gold is the reality because it is the gold which lends existence to all the names and forms, ornaments, the chain, bangle, etc. It is the water is the reality with reference to ocean because it is the water which lends existence to the ocean. Because existence of water is the existence of the ocean. Without the water, there cannot be the ocean existing. Therefore, that which lends existence to the whole cosmos is the reality. And that reality or the truth we say, here we say now, that reality is what? Non-dual. Advaya means non-dual, secondless reality, which means what is there is not one reality, not many realities. What is there is only the reality. What is here is only the reality. What does it mean? There is nothing other than the reality here. All that is here is only reality. Like when you say with reference to ocean, when you can say, what is there is only the water. You can say that very well. You resolve the waves and ocean cognitively in the water. And you say what? How many realities are there? Only water, isn't it? Therefore, you don't say one reality, water is there. You don't say many realities are there. You say what is there is only water. Similarly, with reference to the whole cosmos, the reality is what? Not one reality. Reality alone is there. What is there is only reality. That is what is what? Being non-dual, secondless. And that reality, the secondless, non-dual reality, is what? Lakshyate. Lakshyate means implied. Or brought to light through implication. Revealed through implication or revealed. Isn't it? Lakshyate is implied. Implied by what? Vedantaihi. Vedantaihi by all the Upanishads. Or the Vedanta Shastram, all the Upanishads reveal that Brahman. The reality is brought to light by Upanishads through implication. What does it mean? Not without using any means of knowledge. Why? Because Brahman being the only secondless reality, and this reality being never objectifiable, reality being not an object of knowledge, isn't it? Therefore, without using any other means of knowledge, so many, it is not an object of any means of knowledge. When you say Brahman is not an object of knowledge, means what? It is not an object of knowledge of any means, not available for knowledge through any means of knowledge. Perception, inference, or any means of knowledge. So, pramana avishayam brahma. Pramana avishayam means what? It is not an object of knowledge available for any of the means of knowledge. Because it is not an object at all. Isn't it? Brahman being not an object, not being objectifiable, it is not available for any instrument of means of knowledge. Therefore, but still that Brahman is now what? Revealed, brought to light, isn't it? How? Through implication. How does Vedanta? Vedantaihi Brahma Advayam Brahma Lakshyate. It is brought to light. It is shown. It is revealed through implication. How? He says, Atad Vyavritti Rupena. Not directly. Okay, Brahman being not an object of knowledge, it cannot be directly shown. How Brahman is? It is not available. It is not. Not being an object. It is of the nature of attributelessness, isn't it? Brahman being attributeless, it has some attribute or the other. At least you can use some words to describe it, and you can bring it to light. Is it? The reality being free from all attributes, it is of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, it doesn't not involve any action. doesn't have a form, doesn't have a color, doesn't have a shape, isn't it? It doesn't belong to any jati. So it has no all these features and all these aspects, you know, of the attributes. Some attributes must be there for it to be described, but it has no attributes. Therefore, it is indescribable, inexplicable, and it is not an object, non-objectifiable, but still Vedanta reveals how. Not directly. Like this is a book. If I say it's direct, isn't it? Not directly. Or if I describe this object, then it is direct knowledge, isn't it? It indirectly, it reveals Vedanta Shastram, indirectly reveals Brahman. Indirectly how? Indirectly it helps you comprehend the reality. When it indirectly helps you to comprehend means what? When you comprehend Brahman, you don't comprehend, but not as an object, but as the subject. Not even a subject, as the very truth of the subject of knowledge. And for which, what is the method the Vedanta uses? Isn't it? Atad vyavritti rupena. Tad means Brahma, isn't it? Reality. Atad means not Brahma. By negating what Brahman is not, instead of teaching you directly what Brahman is, what does Vedanta do? It tells you what Brahman is not. By negating what Brahman is not, by showing you what Brahman is not, Vedanta helps you to arrive at what Brahman is. You see, helps you to arrive at means what? It's a comprehension happens. Isn't it? Which means, when you comprehend Brahman, following that Vedantic method, you don't recognize Brahman, you don't really see Brahman as the object of knowledge. You understand Brahman, the reality, the consciousness, being the very existence or the substance of the substantive, I, the knower. This I explained previously, some other class explained to them. Is it? Some other, I think in the Kena class, somebody explained this to you last time. It's a very subtle lesson. Therefore, Atad Brahma Vyavritti Rupena, Atad Vyavritti Rupena means Abrahma Vyavritti Rupena. By showing what Brahman is not, by distinguishing what Brahman is not, by differentiating, by separating what Brahman is not, Vedanta Shastram helps you arrive at what Brahman is. It helps you arrive at what Brahman is not. First, what do you understand? Brahman is not an object of knowledge. Brahman is the only reality. This is a second reality other than Brahman. It is not non-objective, it is not objectifiable. Therefore, it helps you understand what the object is. And you negate every object of knowledge is what? Negated as not Brahma, not Brahma, na. Atavyavritti, neti, very special, very important thing, isn't it? Which is the method. The neti, what you negate? Oh, Brahman is not this. Brahman is not this. You don't say, this is what is Brahman. No. Brahman is not this. Brahman is not this. Brahman, reality is not this. The limitless reality is not this. You negate. Why? Anything which is an object of knowledge, when you understand, Brahman is not that. So how far you negate? A external world you easily negate. Whatever is seen, heard, smelt, tasted, everything is object of knowledge. But Brahman, reality is not any of these things in the world. You have to arrive at the reality first. Then you can say what? Reality is not anything in the world, but everything in the world is not nothing but reality. Later on you have to say what? Is there anything other than reality here? Everything is nothing but reality. You have to understand that later on. For you to understand everything is reality, reality is not anything, isn't it? Everything is reality, you have to arrive at first reality. How are you going to arrive at it? Negate all the objects as abrahma, non-reality. Therefore, negate external world, but where? First, with all difficulty, you have to accept this fact, what? My God, this physical body, so much I like, this body or is what? An object of knowledge, therefore, reality is not the body. Why? Object of knowledge. Why? Brahman is not an object. Therefore, what? Isn't it? Object of knowledge cannot be. Brahman cannot be the object of knowledge. Then you come to what? Similarly, not only that, you have to, the invisible, imperceptible, intangible, subtle powers also you have to negate as objects of knowledge. Your seeing power, your the hearing power, the sense power, all the sense powers have to be negated. It's called, isn't it, vyavrittihi. And the vyavartanam means separating them. Separating them as not Brahma. Your sense powers also, what now? You do the vyavritti of the sense powers as non-Brahma, non-reality. Why? They're objects of knowledge. Then you see your powers of organs of actions also, what? Subtle, intangible. They you had negate them also as what? Because they're objects available for knowledge, objects of knowledge. Reality Brahman is not even powers. Reality is not the physiological sense powers, functions. Because they are all known. They are all objects of knowledge. Then you come to Antahkaranam. You see every thought in the mind. Whatever fear? Known. Depression. Depression is what? Not the reality. Depression is not the reality. Fear is not the reality. Confusion is not the reality. Anger is not the reality. Sorry, reality is not the anger. Reality is not fear. Reality is not anxiety. Reality is not confusion. Reality is not desire. Reality is not hatred. Reality is not jealousy. Not desire. Why? Oh, every thought is known. Every thought is an object of knowledge. What have you understood? Brahman, the reality, secondless reality, is not an object of knowledge, non-objectifiable. They're all known. They're all objects of knowledge. Therefore, that Brahman is what? There's a vyavartanam of what? The thoughts. Then even the understanding of something, the knowledge, the perception, the enthusiasm, the cheerfulness, different, no? The clarity, you see, there are also thoughts only. You negate even all those thoughts also, what now? Objects of knowledge. Therefore, reality is not the objects of knowledge. Therefore, not all this intellect also. Reality is not the intellect. Reality is not the mind. Not even the memory. All that you recollect and see, all the past and things, where are they? All in the form of your thoughts only, all in the mind only, all the vrittis. You see, the whole lives, how much you can remember, all that you can recollect and replay and see, that memory is also what? Nothing but the thought, it is known, object of knowledge. For reality is not the memory, not the intellect, not the mind. Reality is not even ego. What is ego? The knowledge, what's I? I itself is knowledge. I am is knowledge. Self-consciousness is called ego. That's also a subject of knowledge. Why? You can say, I know I am. Do you know you are? Tell me. Do you know you are? Which means I is known, isn't it? You know you are means what? I am is known to you, isn't it? You know you are means I am is known to me. I am, that I am is known to me. I don't need to ask, am I here? I know I am means I am. I am is what? Is the known. And how do I make it clear? When in waking state, I know I am. In deep sleep state, I am. The knowledge is not there. Isn't it? That is known. I am being present in the waking is known. And in deep sleep state, this knowledge I am is not there. I am, but this knowledge I am is not there. Isn't it? I am. See, I am without knowing I am in deep sleep state. In waking, I am knowing I am, that I am. Which means, even the knowledge that I am, being present in the waking, being absent in deep sleep state, is known means even ego is an object of knowledge. Is it clear? I am. I sense. Therefore, this reality, Brahman, the limitless reality, truth of the universe is not even the I, not even I. Later on you have to discover as what? I am the reality. But reality is not I. Like water is not the wave, even though wave is water. It's called vyavartanam, means separating, distinguishing. Why? Because Brahman being only secondless reality, Brahman being not an object of knowledge, non-objectifiable reality, viable reality, Shastram does not reveal Brahman directly. No means of knowledge can reveal Brahman. But still Shastram reveals Brahman. Shastram serves as a means of knowledge. And how? Not directly, but indirectly. Indirectly how? Not as a literal meaning of the word, but as the implied meaning of the word. And through implication alone, indirectly it reveals means. But it negates what Brahman is not. Through the method of negating what the reality is not, it helps you arrive at the reality. It helps you comprehend the reality. When you comprehend the reality, you see the reality being consciousness, and you understand that consciousness as the very substance of the substantive I. Then you will resolve what? I, the self, am consciousness. Like how the wave, if the wave happens to speak to you, the wave can say what? I, the wave, am water, the H2O. Similarly, here you can say what? I, the self, am consciousness. And later on, you understand that consciousness is the very existence of the whole jagat, which is of the nature of fullness and which is free from all differences and it is free from all limitations. Okay, therefore, that reality which is revealed by the Upanishads through implication, indirectly, through the method of negating what Brahman is not, okay, that reality, akhanda anandam ekam, akhandanandam ekam, akhandanandam again, that which is of the nature of anandam, okay, fullness. Akhandananda means what? Fullness. Because happiness. Khandanandaha means, khanda means fraction. Fraction is called khanda. Akhanda means what? Full. Khandanandaha means what? Pleasure. That which comes and goes is a pleasure, is a state of mind which comes and goes, which resolves, which is a fraction of fullness is pleasure, okay, and which is dependent on a given time, situation, place and object for to surface. Whereas Purnanandaha, Akhandanandaha means what? Purnanandaha. Purnanandaha means what actually? That which is of the nature of fullness. Isn't it? So consciousness need not do anything to be full, which means to be happy also. Isn't it? It's already fullness because there's no sorrow for consciousness. That's why akhandanandam yekam. Already I said avyayam, you can take it also, yekam. If there's one reality, one substance, the only secondless substance, which is free from all changes, which is the nature of changelessness, which is of the nature of fullness, which reality is revealed indirectly through implication, through the method of negation of what the reality is not, that reality is what? Brahman. That alone is Brahman, the reality. May one understand this. Okay. Radhiji has already shown me the watch. So, it's good, isn't it? Was it good? So, here the word Athad, Radhiji. Tad stands for Brahma. Atad is equal to Abrahma. Means non-reality, isn't it? Atad vyavritti rupam means in the form of separating, distinguishing the non things which are not Brahman. But revealing what Brahman is not, isn't it? But through negation. Which means what? This verse also tells you what? The reality can be uncomprehended, isn't it? The knowledge of reality can be gained only with the help of the pramanam called Shastram, the means of knowledge. Shastram being the pramanam, the valid means of knowledge of the reality, is also indirectly hinted here. If you make use of that means of knowledge called Shastram, the scripture, the Upanishads, I mean the Vedantic texts, definitely knowledge is possible. Because Shastram is a very special method. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's also hinted. Okay, I'll stop here. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.